Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm super excited to welcome my guest in the studio this morning. I've got Johanna Herron with me, and we are going to dive deep into the Alaska Grown program. So good morning, Johanna.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. I have two quick announcements before we jump into the program. First, I want to mention to listeners that this weekend at the Alaska State Fairgrounds is the second annual Matsu Fiber Festival. So all things fiber happening over there, from fiber production, wool production, animals to spinning, weaving, the whole nine yards. So I want to encourage folks to check that out. They can find more. I think there's a Facebook page about it. So, and there might be a website too. I'm not sure, but I would encourage folks to look at that. And then a kind of exciting Alaska Farmland Trust announcement. Just in the last couple of days, along with the Muskox Farm, we have released tickets for our third annual Oxtoberfest. So save the date, October 7th, and don't hesitate to get your tickets, because I am not even kidding you. Yesterday, there was like a mad dash run on tickets when we made the Facebook event. So get your tickets soon for Oxtoberfest. But without further ado, Johanna, let's jump into all that you do over at the State Division of Agriculture Alaska Grown Program.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I always start by asking my guests a little bit about themselves, their history, their connection to agriculture. So how'd you get here?
Absolutely. I started in Minnesota and Colorado. I spent most of my life in those two areas and moved to Alaska in 2000.
Okay.
So I moved up to Fairbanks and was there for 13 years. I really got into agriculture through food. I was interested in school food and that food environment. I got my bachelor's and master's at UAF, and my master's degree was in community nutrition. And I studied farm to school and its effects or its health impacts on students and the potential for that, as well as the feasibility in Alaska in general.
Okay.
So from there, I applied and accepted a position with the state of Alaska, running the farm to school program as a farm to school coordinator for you.
Yeah.
Actually,
what year was that?
That was 2010.
I thought so.
December of 2010.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember interviewing you. I remember thinking, oh my word, this person is the perfect candidate for this job. So, yep.
Yes.
Very good.
That started my career in agriculture. That was the one thing I was excited about, it to learn more, is really dive into Alaska agriculture.
Yeah.
It was about. So, yeah.
So you started at the division in 2010, and yes. Today you have the title of Market Access and Food Safety, which that's a very different title than when I was there. So tell me a little bit about that. What has changed with the role? Because, you know, to be totally clear, you're in a position that I used to be in, right? Mm-hmm. A similar position, but the title's
Correct.
Changed. So let's
Right.
talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, under the innovative and enthusiastic leadership of Director Keyes, I think is how this was born.
Okay.
We really, and it was through your time there as well, we really looked back at the function and purpose of what we were trying to accomplish in that section. And with the addition of Farm to School in 2010, and then, you know, several years later, we broadened that to Farmed Institution, where we encompassed universities, hospitals, state procurement, that kind of thing. And then it reflected back on the fact that all of those new market outlets had had a really strong food safety component to it.
Right.
And if you remember in 2012, food safety, of course, that education series we launched was born out of food Farm to School. So when you look at markets and market access, you're looking at CSAs, farm stands, farmers markets, retail, institutions.
It's a huge world.
Huge. And so, you know, the food safety component really helps overcome some of the barriers for market access. And so it seemed appropriate to really capture what the section was trying to do to broaden that name and really describe what each of the pillars were up to.
Makes perfect sense to me. Very good. So as you probably know, I always like to ask our listeners and our audience for questions that they might have for my guest. And we got quite a few questions this morning or over the last couple of days. So I'm going to buzz through a couple of those. One of the most general questions is, kind of around the terms of what is the Alaska Grown Program and what's the benefit to a producer for joining?
Absolutely. I think there's two questions there.
Yeah.
So I'll address both. You started with the fiber component. It's, it's food, fiber, flowers is the way I always think of it. And really, at the end of the day, the bottom line, all Alaskans deserve clean, healthy, affordable food.
Agreed.
Just as important, all Alaska farmers deserve a reliable, consistent market. So we at with the Alaska Grown Program, we're really striving to make those two things a reality. The benefit, of course, for a farmer to being in the program, currently it's completely free to get into the program, and you get access to using the marketing logo as well as all of the marketing we do at the division.
Right.
So, it's free marketing. It's use of the logo that is a well-recognized logo. It's probably one of the top recognized brands in the state.
I'd say it is.
It probably is.
I say that, and that makes it true.
It's true
for me, right?
Yeah,
when I was there, we did some market data research about the recognition of the logo, and it consistently showed that 87% of Alaskans recognized the logo, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were operating a small farm business or a value-added food business that qualified, why wouldn't you capitalize on that?
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, it's been around 30 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history there. The Facebook page, there's a lot of different little stats we could give, but the Facebook page, almost second for the national, for a state-run marketing program, agricultural marketing program. We are almost going to pass up Texas. Go Texas.
Go
we're
Texan.
Super close. So we're excited for that. And then there's only one more followed Facebook page that's at Kentucky Proud.
Okay.
They're quite a bit ahead of us.
But I would probably argue that per capita, we have a better following than any other state program,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And am I correct? I think when I was there, we discovered that Alaska was the second oldest program in the nation.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Nationally. Yep.
Yeah.
State-run program.
Right.
Yes.
State-run program.
Yeah.
Exactly. So lots of benefits to producers for joining. Statistically, there's over 700 farms in the state, right? Half of those making the majority of their income from their farm. And how many farms do you have in the Alaska Grown Program now? Tough question, I know, unfair.
It is,
but...
because we get more every day.
Yeah.
Once you're a member, technically you're a member for life, but businesses close and
sure.
things like that happen. And so we're in the 800, 50 range for assigning the Alaska Grown number.
Sure.
And then, of course, there's that's not active membership. We've
sure.
got less than that for whoever might have.
But a lot of producers across the state have
absolutely.
Joined the program.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
As they should, right? Okay, so another question. Let's see. There was some kind of strange ones. I will, full disclosure, I offered up if someone asked a question for my guest that they put their name in the running for one of our Farmland Trust tote bags. So I think that led to more people asking questions, and some of them aren't really specific to Alaska Grown. But
I was watching them and thought a lot of them could be answered by our completely capable agronomist at the PMC, which I know is on the show in the past.
Oh, yeah. Very good. That's true. Yep. Johanna, before we go on much further, I want to remind listeners that they're listening to Ag Matters Radio on Radio Free Palmer this morning. And my guest is Johanna Herron of the State Division of Agriculture. Say it again for me. What's
Market
your title?
Market Access and Food Safety Program.
Market Access and Food Safety Program. Okay, very good. And apart from the Facebook page, where can people go to learn more about becoming a member of the Alaska Grown Program or the benefits? That was
Absolutely.
One of the questions.
Yeah, we have a wonderful new site that has been launched called buyalaskagrown.com.
Buyalaskagrown.com. Okay.
Very catchy.
Yeah.
Very easy to remember. And if you go there, it would have everything you needed from where to buy stuff, how to join, and where to learn more information. So So a lot of our initiatives will end up on there. The $5 challenge that we're running right now, you can go on to learn and they should be on the main page and learn more about some of the things that we have going on right now. And there's, of course, the place where you can go to get to the application and join the program.
Well, since you mentioned it, let's dive into the $5 challenge because that was one of the questions. So first, give us an intro and overview about what the $5 challenge is and why the division was focused on that this year.
Absolutely. A few years ago, you might remember creating a wonderful infographic that has taken off, and it was based on the research done by Ken Meter and the Food Policy Council.
Right.
And so that research showed that if every Alaskan spent $5 a week, it would pump up to $188 million into the economy. So,
yeah.
So we took that, and to give credit, Farm Bureau and I believe others had launched some of their own $5 challenge things in past years. We really wanted to do something in past years. We just didn't have the manpower and capability. This year we have wonderful staff on right now, and so we ran with it and created a challenge that challenges all Alaskans to spend $5 a week for 5 months on Alaska Grown, and it could be anywhere. We've given these little marketing kits to retail outlets to really encourage retailers to make it easy for the consumer to find the $5.
Right.
So often you might go into a retail outlet and have a hard time locating where Alaska Grown
sure.
is. And so this was to encourage retailers to make it easy for the consumer so
yeah.
that we can spend that $5.
Yeah. Clarifying question that mm-hmm. came up. Is the $5 challenge per household or per member of the household?
I would say it's per member of the household.
Okay, very good. So my family of four should be spending $20 a week on Alaska Grown,
yes,
not $5 a week.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. And then another question kind of related to that was, and since you brought up the retailers, is it possible that you could work with, particularly Fred Meyer's now has the little rack when you enter the produce section where it there's a sign that says, you know, hungry, take a snack.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, you know, with like the
yes,
apples and bananas
yes.
for kids to, you know, grab something while their parents are shopping? Well, a question came in. Mm-hmm. Could we convince the grocery store to add Alaska Grown carrots to that snack rack when they're available?
Ooh, I love that suggestion.
Right?
I think that would be great. You know, retailers are great. They're and they often can be very enthusiastic about fun things like this and good innovative ideas. So I think that would be a really good suggestion, and I
yeah.
will be calling somebody right after the show to see if we can get
to
something like that
it,
to happen.
Right?
Of course, we have to wait till the carrots come.
Right, which is everyone's
waiting,
question.
Right?
Like every other day, when are the carrots? When are the carrots? It's so
yes.
funny.
Yeah, well, they're the hot item.
Yeah.
And,
are there any early carrots at farmers markets? Do you know?
There probably, I would imagine there are. I
yeah.
know that I just got a picture from Bethel, from Meyer Farm in Bethel, and they have some gorgeous carrots that they had pictures of from their indoor. They were growing
sure.
some indoors, and so they're ready to go. They pulled bunches out already. So
oh, wow.
Depends on the part of the state is what I would say.
Yeah.
I know down in Petersburg not long ago, I believe I saw some carrots from a site visit that was done down there as well. So,
oh, very good.
Yeah.
So they're out there. But just to remind listeners, we shouldn't expect them in the grocery store until after Labor Day and sometimes as late as the first week in October, right?
Yeah, it really depends on weather.
Weather,
yeah.
And I just want to throw it out there that I think we're going to have a nice, long, beautiful fall because we've had such a short, crappy summer, right?
I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay. All right. So another question that came in was about advocating to get more restaurants to use local produce. What is the Alaska Grown program doing for that?
I am so happy you asked that. I actually jotted down current initiatives, a whole list of them, and then the to come, like keep your eye out. And right now we have coming up is the restaurant recognition program. So
okay. Tell us more.
Yeah. We've applied for some funding for that. And if we do get that money, it will come in towards the end or towards in October. It's the
okay.
federal year. And what we hope to do with that program is really start to recognize and recognize restaurants for what they're doing, pairing up with local food and products. And we don't have everything worked out yet.
Sure.
But the goal would be that we'd make it easier for consumers and restaurant goers as well as to find restaurants that are supportive of local procurement, buying Alaska Grown, that
yeah.
kind of thing. And then also give that marketing tool and credit to the restaurants for taking that initiative and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And I think I always like to remind consumers that part of the responsibility is on their shoulders, because restaurants, retailers, even farmers markets, if consumers demand the product, they're in the business of giving consumers what they want, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So every time you go to a restaurant, ask, you know, is there anything local on the menu today? And we're so used to seeing local seafood on menus throughout Alaska, which is incredible. But and restaurants often, they mention that, oh, yeah, you know, we've got local salmon, we've got some halibut fresh from, you know, this and that. But I would just encourage listeners to also ask about the produce, right?
Absolutely.
And meat, red meat, you know, there's more and more the chickens, Rochelle and the co-op and all the chicken availability now, right?
There's a lot of growth right now. And
yeah.
There's a lot of products you can be asking for. And if they don't know about them, sometimes they're really interested to find out. So you can say, yeah, actually there is a flour company in Alaska. There is a, you know, whatever you know of, let them know.
Right.
You know, there's a good chance they'll carry
it. And as a consumer, if they can tell people to go to that, what is it, buyalaskagrown.com, right?
Where absolutely
retailers,
yes,
restaurants, et cetera, could find access to more products, right?
Or they can even give us a call and we can help help link them up and point them to the source book or even connect them to people regionally in their area.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay. So Alaska Grown has been around for 30, 31-ish years now, right? I mean, you're into the 31st year.
Yes.
And I always say it's the most recognized logo in the state, and people love to use it. And also sometimes people like to use it for reasons that are not allowed. So there was a question that came in about what are you guys doing to protect the logo? And I know that's a kind of a huge question and a huge issue, but let's just talk about it a little bit. What are you guys doing to make sure that the logo is only used on products that qualify for the logo?
Sure. Yeah. And there's been a lot of discussion, I think, at the division on evolving, taking a next step, working with the farmers. And you got to remember that this program was born out of the farming community.
It really was.
It's owned by that. And so we take take it very seriously to get the input from the agricultural community about any change or anything that we do. Right now, you know, the program is very self-regulated. You are allowed into the program. We do check to make sure you're a real person. We verify that you are indeed following what we outline in our certification policy. And then we occasionally get concerns brought to our attention. The program doesn't have any authority to regulate or go out and do anything technically to any producer that might be using it inappropriately or not maintaining the integrity. But there has been some discussion about, especially producers that might be bringing down the value of the logo, and we're looking into ways that we can prevent that and keep that from happening.
Sure.
So, yeah, for the most part, our biggest complaints come from the retail sector, where they are mislabeling, where they might have a logo next to pineapple or something. And that's when you go directly to the retailer and you discuss that, the misplacement and make sure that they understand what the logo is supposed to be next to.
Right. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I remember, you know, dealing with those issues when I was there as well. And I'll just say this, that, you know, when you have a program that is as old, you know, 31 years old, and as successful and as well recognized as this program is, there's always going to be a couple of little issues. But I would say, overall, you know, there isn't blatant misuse of the logo, I would argue. I mean,
right.
And those little issues that are happening, I know that you guys are trying to get right on them. And you're also asking that producers are self-policing, right?
Absolutely.
If they
Absolutely.
See something. And plus, when you sign on to use the logo, there's still that affidavit on the application, right, that says you'll use the logo to these parameters and you'll also let us know if it's being used in a way that's not allowed, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And really that's the key of it, is that it, you know, we've done our due diligence trying to spell out what that is. And I think most people in the program are trying to do that.
Sure.
I don't think anybody's out there to try and change that.
Yeah. Well, once again, I want to remind folks that it's they're listening to Ag Matters Radio. And my guest this morning is Johanna Herron from the State Division of Agriculture, Food Access and No, I'm
not going to.
Market access and food safety program. Man, that one is a tough one for me. I think for so long I was just the marketing manager, right? So I just want to say that every time. But I apologize for that. Anyways, Johanna is our resident expert when it comes to all things, you know, farm to school, Alaska grown, food safety over at the Division of Agriculture. And I'm really glad that you took the time out because I know how busy you guys are over there. Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. I think we've gotten through the majority of the questions that were asked on the page. There were some questions about what do you think is one of the most popular Alaska grown mm-hmm. items right now, or that if a person were thinking about increasing their production mm-hmm. of food, what's a hot item right now, or what's something that people could grow more of?
Yeah, I think hands down, everybody recognizes carrots are the number one, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a lot of demand and interest in meat and eggs, and that's just, it's increasing.
Yeah.
I think if you were to talk seasonally right now, some of the more popular items are going to be your lettuces and root vegetables, beets and kohlrabi and kind of some of those unique things, because they grow big up here. They grow really well up here. So. And we are actually doing a Meet Me at the Market campaign right now where we're going to some farmers markets around the state to find that out, exactly that, from the consumer. So we're asking the consumers, what draws you here? What is bringing you here? And so hopefully we'll have some really good information from that after the summer, knowing what people are really going for and what would be your top item to increase at a farm that might have better odds at the marketplace.
Very good. My guest next week is actually Brad St. Pierre, the manager of the Tannenaw Valley Farmers Market.
Oh, wonderful. I've been trying to get a hold of him.
Yeah. Well, he is a very busy guy. Good gracious. That being the oldest and one of the most successful farmers market in the state, and it's a full-time job for him to manage that. Plus, he's got a farm on the side, right?
So, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's exciting. I was glad that he was willing to come on the show. There are some statistical questions in there on the post, like mm-hmm. what's the most popular Alaska-grown item grown? And I think there's a lot of different ways to look at that question, right? By millions of dollars or by at the farmer's market, what do you see most of? So you can answer that however you want.
I believe we probably produce mostly the highest production would be potatoes is my guess. Again, these are probably things better for the censuses, stats and agronomists. But right now, this time of year, I think the most popular things are your novel, innovative things at farmer's markets, right? Romanesco, onions, some of the good things that we grow up here.
Strawberries.
Yeah. The great thing about the products up here and the produce and everything is just the fact that it's grown in these pristine soils. And so you have less need for pesticides and you have this sweeter taste to them. So,
yeah. Did you, I'm so sorry. Did you hear my show a couple weeks ago with Laura from Integrative Wellness Solutions?
I would
beg you and Jody both to like take a half an hour out of your day and listen to that show, because Laura was talking about the availability of nutrients in products mm-hmm. grown in Alaska. Oh. And she has done some of her own research on hay produced in Alaska and how it's super high in iron, which then makes other nutrients in the hay unavailable for the horses that are eating the hay. Oh. And it's resulted in like some, you know, hoof issues and other things with the horses. So she's super curious about other food items in Alaska and nutrient availability, and she's excited and willing to help do some of the research and work. So,
well, that's great, because we actually have a study right now at UAF. Miriam Carlson's leading, looking at the nutrient content of local Alaska-grown products and foods, even closed environment farming. I think she's including. So,
that's awesome.
So we will have some research coming out on that. But I think
I should connect Laura to Miriam.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Because Laura's coming at it from a wellness place. Mm-hmm. She's a therapist, and she's seeing these issues with folks that she thinks are nutrition based, you know, or at least you can't heal a person all the way unless their nutrition is correct. Right. Yeah. So anyway, fascinating. That's an exciting connection that we just made there.
That is.
Yeah.
That's the point of this show, right?
That's right. Very good. Very good. So we are, you know, we're closing in on our half an hour. It goes by so very, very fast.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that your incredible son, Jethro, brought me in a beautiful bouquet of Alaska peonies this morning, right?
Yes.
We've got to mention that product.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And those are from a local farm right now around here. You know, this is the time of year they're blooming, and it's neat because all over the state, they sort of bloom at different times because mm-hmm. you've got different, you know, weather, different
microclimates.
Yeah. And right now in the Mat-Su area, we're seeing them bloom like crazy, and they're just beautiful, and they're scented.
They smell so good. Yeah, I can smell them from in here.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So what other exciting topics or what other kind of closing thoughts? What else do you want to throw out at us about the program and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I think maybe telling you some of the stuff that's going on and some of the stuff that's to come that people can watch for. So as you know, we talked a little about the $5 challenge, the Meet Me at the Market. And then one thing that's coming up that we're really excited about is to relaunch the Farm Food Safety Education Series.
Okay.
We've had a lot of requests for that. And so we've got somebody lining those up right now. So if anybody's interested in that, they need to get a hold of our office. Jamin Hitchcock is the lead on that. So he's going to...
So slow down just a second. Farm Food Safety Workshops or Education Series. So what does that look like? Would be someone that would go to one of these?
So somebody that would go to one of these is somebody that's scaling up or interested in just food safety practices. You know, farmers are really actually very, very good at food safety practices or they wouldn't be in business.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if there's a little bit more that they can add to their thing, and what the big thing is if you're going to that retail sector or the institutional sector with your sales is that you want a farm food safety plan.
Right.
And so this series is going to be looking at writing those plans. So we're going to be kind of going through what kind of paperwork you would need into those. And even we're hoping that you will leave the actual workshop with a plan in your hand. So
good.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So watch for more information about that. And mm-hmm. where would I watch?
We'll be putting something out on our Alaska Grown member listserv. I'm going to give something to the Farm Bureau to put out.
Okay, good.
And then we'll try and announce it in as many outlets as we can.
And will it be on that buyalaskagrown.com? Will there be something there?
Potentially.
Okay.
We also have a new Alaska Grown member group on the Facebook page. With 54,000 followers, we know not everybody might be interested in that. So we created a group that would be more targeted towards production.
Okay, good. Very good.
Yeah. And then we did partner with the Farm Bureau for doing listening sessions. And so, again, that's another way that we can come together with a partner organization and really deep dive into topics and hear what people are thinking and what producers want and take that and incorporate that into the work we do.
Okay.
So that's exciting. We're doing video series. Farm to School is doing so many exciting things and just got that grant. And they're going to be really doing a community-specific regional approach with Farm to School, going into a region and saying, what are your strengths and resources?
Yeah. So a lot of exciting work going on.
Yes.
So quickly, folks can find your contact information. Is your information on the buyalaskagrown.com website to get to you directly?
A good point. I don't know. If it's not, we should change that. We'll definitely get that updated with all of our staff's contact information.
Okay. Very good. Well, Johanna, I want to extend a sincere thanks for you being on the show this morning. You're a great advocate for Alaska agriculture, and we're glad you're over there doing the work that you do. That's all we have time for on today's show. But again, we've been talking to Johanna Heron from the State Division of Agriculture about the Alaska Grown Program. And I want to remind folks that Ag Matters is broadcast on Radio Free Palmer on Wednesday mornings from 7:30 to 8, and it rebroadcasts on Friday afternoon from 12:30 to 1. You can listen to the stream at radiofreepalmer.org, and thanks so much for joining me. This is Amy Pettit with Ag Matters.
Thanks for having me.
This is KVRF Sutton and K209FY Palmer and KGVC Glacier View, Radio Free Palmer.
Listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.